What's it? Okay.
Right. Interview now with David Walker, formerly Bamaclare man. David, could you just give me a brief outline of your history when you were born? And
okay. My name is David Walker. I was born on the 17th of July, 1937, in the schoolhouse, Balmacellan. My father, Douglas Walker, he was the headmaster of Balmacellan Primary School, and my mother also taught, was a teacher, and she taught at Balmacellan Primary School. I had a wonderfully happy childhood at Balmacellan. So the first 12 years of my life were spent in Balmacellan. I'm drying up.
And then where did you move from there, David, and why?
Well, do you want any more details about...
No, I'll go back. I'll go back to that.
Well, in 49, we moved lock, stock and barrel. My dad got a headship at Cargan Bridge at New Abbey.
That was an economic decision?
No. I suppose it was. Uh-huh. It was a promotional move for my dad. Uh-huh. He was a headmaster of a primary school at Balmacellan, and he moved to take on the headship at the secondary school at New Abbey.
Uh-huh.
And then, I forget exactly how long, but a good few years later, the school was closing down, and he moved to a new, a much bigger secondary and primary combined school at Cargan Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught there until he retired at 65.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the moves we had. Just prior to moving to Cargan Bridge, I'd started working at ICI. ICI at that time was dual functional. There was explosive one side, and on my side was a new fibres division, working on the development of a new regenerative protein fibre called Ardil.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work out, and I ended up with ICI Dumfries being transferred down to Harrogate.
Mm-hmm.
Hence my move, and that's where I met my wife Pat at ICI in Harrogate.
Uh-huh.
So where do you want me to go from here?
Right, we'll go back now to early life in Balmaclare. Can you tell me a bit about your parents, their names, and where they lived? Where do you live?
We lived at what was the schoolhouse.
Uh-huh.
In Balmaclare.
That's the original old schoolhouse halfway up the street.
That's right. Are you familiar with the village in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I was born in one of the upper bedrooms.
Uh-huh.
in the schoolhouse. Uh-huh. In the 17th of July 37.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was Douglas Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother Elsie Walker.
Was she from Balmaclellan?
Well, neither of the two were originally from Balmaclellan.
No, they moved in.
My dad was a Glaswegian, born uh-huh. in Glasgow, trained at Glasgow University. My mother was born in Edinburgh.
Ah, so right.
A bit of a conflict between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
So what brought them down?
They both trained as teachers, and my mum and dad got their first teaching posts at Dorais. That's where they met in Dorai.
Aye, that was the old schoolhouse.
Up the back street.
Yeah.
And I think back in those days, I don't know exactly what my mother's function was, but they both were teachers. But dad used to take the scouts and guides
uh-huh.
at Dorai.
Aye.
And then I don't know if a vacancy came up, but he got a move to Bath. I think it was around 1936.
Uh-huh.
Took over the headship, and as I say, in 37 I was born in the schoolhouse.
Uh-huh. And at what age did he teach the pupils? What class did they go up to? Was that just primary?
At Balmertown, it was purely primary. We now call it reception, but in my day it was infant. I started off at infant one, uh-huh, infant uh-huh, two, aye, and then primary one, two, three, four, five, uh-huh, before moving on. Mm-hmm. In 1949 to secondary in New Army.
Uh-huh. And how many pupils was there roughly in Balmaclean at that time?
For the life of me, I can't remember. No. If you can picture the old building, it was a clock maker. Mm. That full building was.
It was full.
One half.
There'd be one, two, three, and then a dividing.
Yes, there's a partition. There's a partition between the two, and then in high days and holidays used to open. Open uh-huh. the partition, so the whole building was open. Uh-huh. Funnily enough, I still remember my early days as an infant. Uh-huh. I missed my first attendance at school because a day or two before I should have started school, I sat with a wee neighbour opposite smoking paper. And I was sick.
Who was the neighbour? Can you remember his name?
Ian Cannon.
There is a woman, Dot yes, Cannon, still.
He lived in Homeside.
Almost just above the school.
The schoolhouse.
Well, those houses would be fairly new at that time, were they? Homeside.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. There's been a lot of addition.
That's right, further up. Game, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I say, I missed my early... first few days, but uh-huh. and then I was taught by a wonderful lady, a Miss Mackie, and apparently she was an evacuee from Glasgow. Because it was during war had started, uh-huh. and the uh-huh. evacuation had started, so so she ended up in Balmaclean, uh-huh. and for her sins she had to teach me. a lot of other children.
And can you remember any other the Wayne's names that attended with you?
This is later up in school. As I said, the rooms used to be divided by partition.
Aye. Or some of the folk that stayed in the village down below. Do you remember any names where they stayed?
Oh yes. Yeah. Aye. Well. In the house opposite, in Homeside, uh-huh. The Cannon family. Uh-huh. Next door to the Cannon family was a very crippled old lady, Mrs. Smith. Uh-huh. She used to keep pigs in the back garden.
Is that right? During the war. What whose would that be? Do you know the number?
It'd be the very if you know Homeside, it's the
very first one.
The very end one, yes.
Aye. Yeah. So there's pigs in there. How many pigs did she keep in the back then?
She had two or three.
Uh-huh. And at that time, she needed a license for them, didn't you? I don't think you're allowed to kill them for your own consumption.
I can remember them squealing because they used to take them down to it was one of the quarries down. They used to kill pigs down at Smiddy.
Would that be? Do you know the name of it? Would it be Tom Corrie or Alistair or Joe?
Alistair. Alistair Corrie, and then did he have a brother or son? Joe. Joe was the youngest.
Then there was Sam. Do you remember Sam?
Sam, yeah.
It was
Ginger,
Tom.
Ginger here.
Aye.
Yeah.
Tom was killed in the war.
Yes, that's right.
At Arnhem.
Yes.
And Sam was a beekeeper.
Really?
He taught me how to work with bees.
Yes.
Aye, very gentle, quiet man. Aye. So, and they kept... Aye. Did you ever see him killing the pigs at that time?
No.
Presumably it would be a hammer.
Yeah.
A heavy hammer or an axe.
Something else, but I never was privy to that.
Did they hang them up in the smiddy, or did you know anything about them after they'd done the job?
No.
No?
No. Well, I only know that during the war, we never went short of essentials, pork, eggs, uh-huh. milk, aye. Uh-huh. butter.
So presumably there was a pigsty in the back of that house?
Yes, yeah.
That's strange, because I own that house now.
But the
very first one,
yeah.
I put that in. Aye, so that's very interesting about the pigs. Any other livestock or poultry that kept within the village as a matter of interest? Can you remember? They keep hens
not so much in the village, but I used to go up regularly to Wilkie.
That would be the Murrays.
Tommy Murray. He was the the farmer then, and he initially was our used to deliver milk in his pony and tram.
That's right.
But before he started doing that, we used to have to take a can and go up to Terwilke.
Aye. And you collected the milk? Yeah. There's another man used to deliver the milk. Will Little. Do you remember the Littles?
Oh, Terwattleday. Terwattleday.
You do,
yeah, with a dripping nose.
Will Little. Aye, a wee man.
A wee man. He's sitting on his cart and his nose dripping.
Can you remember him delivering the coal? He used to deliver the coal and gather the rubbish in Bamaclell.
No.
The horse would start at the top of the village, the horse and cart, and he would say move, or whatever, and the horse would move to the next door and stop. He either delivered or he gathered the rubbish. He could do that twice a week. The Murrays did that. Did they do that delivering first, or was it Will Little? Or did they both sort of do it? And
I remember seeing Willie Little.
Will Little, Clydesdales. Yeah. They'd be fairly tall horses, were they? Mm. And just one horse in the cart.
Yeah.
Aye. That was on. Was there any other shops in the village? Can you remember at that time?
There was just essentially the two down, and this is a lot laugh at me. There was what used to be the original post office. It was run by Willie Bigger.
Uh-huh. Is that where the shop is now?
Well, it is now.
That was the post office.
But it used to be a combined shop and post office.
And then was there one up the street to Grierson's Bray?
That's all gone. We just passed there today in Grierson's. It's all living accommodation.
It's been demolished. The big store. I think they're going to try and rebuild, but I don't know if that's going to happen. They used to own the houses, and then there was a stable up the top there, and across the road from the Grierson shop was a big three-story building, which is gone.
Yes.
There was pigs in the bottom floor. Can you remember?
No.
Was there pigs in there?
No.
Or was it your time?
No.
There was 16 businesses in Bamaclan at one time. 16.
Businesses. I mean, you can remember the two cobblers, the two butchers. Was there a butcher in my time? There certainly was a smiddy at the quarries.
Was it further up the street?
No, it's where it is now because we're having a look around, and the place where they put the metal rims on cartwheels, it's still in the ground. I mean, they put the metal rim
and heat it up and put it over the
wheel and pour water on it.
Aye.
Well, that's still there in the ground.
It is. And was there many horses? Or many cars in your time? Can you remember? Was there still horses going about?
Very few cars. The horse we saw came from Terwilke and Terwattleby.
Uh-huh.
And they came down. I remember seeing, I don't know which one of the quarries shoeing the horse.
That would be Alistair.
Yeah. And he was a bit of a character, was Alistair, because he owned one of the outbuildings was joining on to the schoolhouse.
That's right. Quigsies. That's right.
He used to sit in there in the dark and used to throw things at me.
Did he? was he drunk at the time? He was notorious.
He might have been. At that age, I wasn't really aware of.
No, you'd be terrified of this big man. He was quite a big man.
Yes, he was. Yeah, very bluff.
Aye.
And also, adjacent to Quigsies, there was a couple of petrol pumps.
Right. Quigsies.
Next, it joined onto the schoolhouse.
Aye.
Lower side.
Uh-huh.
And just slightly down from that, there was petrol.
So what was he doing in that room beside the schoolhouse?
He had all sorts of junk in there.
Right.
And I remember going having a look at it. He seemed to sit in the dark. And I say, he threw things at me and scared me.
It was just yourself, or was there other lads trying to pester him? Or this was just a thing that. When he was sitting there, he didn't want anybody looking in, he threw things at him.
Because another thing, back in those days also, instead of having bellows, he invested in powered,
aye.
And he had no suppressors on it. And back in the day, listening to Dick Barton, of course, the Saturday night, they would start up the blower, and of course, they'd wipe it, they'd distort the radio. I should remember dashing down to the smithy to see if we can't hear Dick Barton. And he said, "Fuck off."
He would, aye. He was a hell of a, I knew him quite well.
I'll
tell you his story about Alistair. So that you can, you know, and it's in, so it's in here as well. When we were young lads, all the young lads for the area were sent to the smiddy first thing in the morning if you'd break down, because them days there was, every place was a farm, a lot of folks staying in the countryside. And the reason sent the boy was you had to wait in a queue. So fathers would send the boys, we had to wait in this queue, and Alistair would be there initially before Joe. Alistair was always early in the morning, even although he still suffered a bit of a hangover. And as boys, he was almost terrified of him, you know, because he was this fearsome character. And if it was a puncture, you took your life in your hands, because he was that drunk. He couldn't see where the hole was, and his hand was going shaking, like, and stuck it on. And there's many a time, us lads, you'd be terrified to say, "Look, mister, you've missed it, I think." So you go way back home, and 2 years later you were sent back with your tail between your legs, getting that bloody puncture sorted right and put the patch on the bloody hole. Because Alistair was that drunk, he couldn't. But a very intelligent man, and yeah, I had a lot of time for Alistair.
He took advantage of a lot. There was one lad there, I think he was called Harry Coftrey. He was just a little bit simple. And
Harry Coftrey.
He had him carry a massive parcel up from the smithy up to Tauroki, and when they opened it, it was full of horse muck.
This was Aki's instigating. It was a character, aye.
Yeah,
so do you know any other folk that stayed in the village?
Yes, the local registrar and carpenter, Jimmy Murray.
The same as Tauroki? Same Murray?
Yes, I think it was.
Can you remember his sisters? Because they taught at the Craig Room and maybe at Bamaclan at one time.
Just a minute. Jimmy Murray, he was the joiner. And we knew him as well, called Niblick, because he was bad-tempered.
Seemed to be full of bad-tempered folk, Bamaclan.
That
was an old wooden building up the street. It's now gone.
Next to the schoolhouse was Jimmy's yard. That's overgrown, full of old agricultural machinery. The Akaviti ran through the bottom of the garden,
right
under the road, down home side.
That's right.
Under the road again, back out below DL's.
DL's, who are the DL's?
There's a house that just below number 10, the last home side, or the first home side.
Aye. Was that the older house? The sort of traditional?
It's still there. It had a big barn at one time, but that's gone.
Right.
And the Akaviti was open, but it got to the brae up to the
and then
shop.
Through below the houses.
Came under bigger shed down into what was the curling pond field.
Aye. Was there any curling took place at that time?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
The hut's still there.
The hut's still, we saw it today.
Aye.
Yeah, and we spoke to somebody today and they said they'd been digging up in their garden, they dug up curling stones.
Is that right?
Yeah, how they got in the garden, I don't know.
They'd just be left. Was that something that stayed near the curling pond?
Yes, I think it was one of the houses overlooking from the high road.
That would be Loch Bank.
Yes, I think it's Loch Bank.
Mark Warnock.
But I don't know if there's anything in the hut now. But that's
no, it's probably been plundered long ago. Was there a lot of folk? Can you remember meeting the curlings taking place?
Meeting the curlings? Well, no.
No, the actual games taking place, the curling.
Oh, yes.
Aye.
Yes, they used to, there was an embankment which they used to
block off
the
sluice.
And it flooded, froze, and then the curling. Because my brother and I also used to go skating on there as well.
Uh-huh.
We incurred the wrath of some of the skating across
you'd
the
rink. You'd be in trouble,
yeah, because it really, it'd be more smooth.
I bet.
With the
you'd be frowned
upon. And we damaged it,
So big turnout. Most of the locals attended the
I get the feeling that the majority who took part were local farmers.
Uh-huh.
I think Jimmy Murray, Tommy Murray, I think Willie Little, I think they all curled.
Shaws, the name Shaws, do you remember any? They're the oldest family in the Glenkens.
No, it's not familiar.
So any other names, McAllister, Shepley, Villiers-Stewart?
Some of the part of the Hoypoly, Villiers-Stewart, weren't they? Remember Mrs. Bristow?
Miss Bristow?
She was the donor, she did, created or produced fountains for the park.
Right.
There's a little plaque. I didn't know it was there. Uh-huh. We saw it today. A little plaque on the wall.
She's a very unassuming woman. Did you know she worked at Bletchley Park during the war?
Really?
Decoding Nazi. Yeah. Yes. A real decent sort.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah. I think she's an artist, a painter. Because gave my mother and father a hand painting.
She was a kind of stern-looking woman, but she had a wicked sense of humour.
Really?
She played on her stern looks.
Yeah. And there's another family, Stretfields. I don't know, can't remember much about them.
How about Gordon Wallace? Remember Gordon Wallace?
Gordon Wallace used to cut my hair.
That's right.
Gordon and Nellie, he cut my hair, and he had two daughters, Fairley and Bunty.
We're related to...
To Gordon. And then next one up was
Tom Kelly. I remember Tom.
Yeah,
he would have had a war wound or what a bad limp.
Tom Kelly. There's a family hunter.
Mary Hunter.
Mary, is it, one of the daughters was a contemporary of mine. And then next door was McAllister's. Tommy? He taught me how to build and fly a conventional kite.
Right.
I don't remember much more about it. And then further up family McCarthy.
It's about the second family.
They used to get the comics, the Dandy and the Beano. My parents would let me read the Dandy and the Beano because it wasn't a thing to be done to read.
But the McCarthy's dead.
So I got the Dandy and Beano from them.
Their daughter's still in the village, she stays in the same house.
And then right at the very top next door was the Coffrey family.
Coffrey, don't know that name.
Pinch the apples from the back garden.
Imagine.
Yeah.
We used to do that as well, but doing it at home. Do you remember the home, the big house, the home?
Oh, yeah.
Would that be the Templetons? Were they in there?
Two girls went to Nettie. Yeah, that lassie there, she lived at home. There was two of them.
Is that a picture of the class, your class at Bamaclan?
I've sung nearly all my life, and that was the primary school choir that my dad took to a festival at Newton Stewart, I think.
Are these Bamaclan pupils, or are they mixture of?
Yes, they're all Bamaclan. They're all kids from the Bamaclan primary school.
Can you put names to them at all? In the future, if you could. Yeah. If I could get a copy of that with the names on the bar, that would be great.
There's a list of the names.
There is a list of all the names, yes.
There's a list on the downloads.
That's great. That's brilliant. Yeah. And you mentioned also you had a relation's name on the war memorial. Can you tell me a bit about that as well?
My mother was one of a family of three. She was the eldest.
Uh-huh.
There was a brother, Jim, and the younger brother, Alan. Jim, who went off in the war, and ended up POW camp with the Japanese, worked on the Burma Railway.
What outfit did he serve in? Do you remember?
It was Coastal Command,
that
I think.
That was Alan, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Alan.
No, sorry. He was in the army.
You don't know what regiment?
I don't know which regiment. No,
that's okay. Right. And
Alan, whose name's on the war memorial, he lied about his age.
and joined the auxiliary air force for a time.
Right.
And I think he got his wings. He went to Canada and learned to fly, but ended up flying aircraft from one area to another. And I was shot down and lost overseas.
Was he delivering planes to?
Delivering planes in 1943.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's. I remember him.
So in Africa,
a lovely guy. I had at that time I had three brothers and my younger brother. He climbed Black Craig with my brother Jim on his shoulders. he's a fit lad.
Good lad. Yeah. Aye, fit. Aye.
What else? Oh, moving up to people I knew. There's the Jimmy Murray had the. The joiner shop.
Aye.
And next one up was the house he lived in, Ken Lee.
Well, you stayed in that house?
Yes.
That was the original post office at one time.
Well, I don't think so. No, the original post office was Bigger's.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because there was a post office in Ken Lee, but we don't know when.
Yes, yeah, I can't remember that exactly.
No.
But it was certainly sometime pre-1949.
Uh-huh.
Because there was one or two changes. Initially it was Bigger's, then it moved up to Ken Lee. Mrs. Murray was the place, and then I don't know if she got it moved down to a house. Where is it? Just before the Akaviti disappeared under the Bray.
Aye.
Mrs. Miller.
That'd be the first shop. First above the shop used to be Lady Maxwell in there, I can remember.
I don't think it was that.
And then Alistair Corey stayed in
the
last. Not the house, it's no longer there, is it? There's a car park there. There used to be a house there.
No, there was a house right in the corner where there's a grumpy old man who used to have a.
Another grumpy old man.
Yeah, another grumpy old man.
was that the Craig Room? Is that straight across from the shop?
Before it turned round to the Craig Room.
Aye, I've got you there now.
Akaviti open.
Aye.
Used to run the other side of the road.
Aye. And can you remember allotments across the road?
Yes, that's where this old guy, he had an allotment.
Uh-huh.
He grew not onions, leeks.
Leeks. Uh-huh.
And he used to pour pig muck. I don't know where he got
it. Was that from up the street?
Probably up the street.
Home side.
I don't know how he got it.
Because apparently it was a row of allotments across the road there.
Yes.
At one time. We've no photographic history of that.
But that's all gone now.
It's been sold for
his. There's almost a road in there.
That was the Smiddy, Corries that made that wee road, but it's now been sold.
That was the Smiddy.
The Smiddy across the road used that land across from to store machinery and. Statues of old mortality and things like that. Can you remember statues of old mortality in the village?
In my time, there wasn't a statue. The wall where old mortality is, there is
that would just be
overhung with walls. But the plaque on the wall was there.
It was always there.
But then I believe the.
It was in probably in your time that statue would be at the home estate, the mansion house.
Yeah, I believe so. Statue was. Uprooted and installed.
We used to sit on a horse because it was below a big tree. That's when we weren't stealing apples.
But he was all mortality. He spent a lot of time looking for the graves.
That's right, Covenanters.
Covenanters.
Because Alistair Corey used to own one of the statues. And it used to sit behind the petrol pump. Can you mind if it was there then? And
the only petrol pumps in Ballycullen in my day was the. The two adjacent to Quigsey's.
Aye. Uh-huh.
Which is open derrick space.
Aye.
Quigsey's is falling into disrepair.
Aye. Uh-huh. Right. And any other deliveries or businesses attending the village at that time you can remember delivering goods or
very little.
Uh-huh. Did you travel much at that? Can you remember travelling much when you're
My dad, he being a maths graduate and a teacher, ended up towards the end of the war going into the RAF, and he was one of the pioneers of radar, and he used to fly I travel all over the country and even fly out to the Shetland Islands to various radar installations. But the only travelling I did during the war was by bus up from Balmacallan to Dumfries, or from Balmacallan up to Glasgow, where my grandparents were, and both my brother and I, Jim, being standing at the footstep of the bus, being sick. We were dreadful, dreadful travellers.
And the roads are not much better today.
With my dad in the RAF, and with two sons, either going up to Dumfries or up to Glasgow, and we didn't travel very well.
So did he have to attend a ministry down in London at any time during your father? Did he have to attend London when he was heavily involved in designing radar and communications?
I don't think so.
No. He obviously had an interest in that. Your father.
Oh yes, yes. Aye. Well, he was he was a mathematics graduate, and they were looking for graduates because I think there's a degree of maths required in radar. I mean, I'm not that well up in it, but he was almost headhunted, but so he actually went into the RAF just a little bit later in the war.
So all the years later, what's the biggest difference you see in Balmacallan now?
It's almost unbelievable. Homeside is extended. The schoolhouse where I was born, it's been extended at the back.
That's right.
Upwards. The garden used to be quite massive. Now they've only got part of it. Three massive plane trees, and a chestnut tree in the far corner. That's all part of the garden. I climbed the lot of them in those days. And the garden, I say, was terraced. And I've got vivid memories of 1947 when a tremendously heavy snowfall.
I've heard stories about that. How do you recall that?
As I say, the garden was terraced. Well, with the snowfall, it ended up just a slope down to the house. It was amazing.
Is that right?
And as I say, Dad was headmaster, and also in order to keep the school running, we had to go and stoke the coke boiler. So we ended up walking down the village street. By that time, we walked through a canyon of snow just below the old smiddy. Funny, I can't digress for a minute. A building we saw today with a label on it, the smiddy. That I never remember that as a smiddy.
It was originally a pub. Can you remember that? It was called the Plough.
No, I don't.
It was originally a pub. I don't know if you could stay the night in it or.
No, there's.
You'll just recall the smiddy being further.
My dad never had a Morris 8 YS3747, which, and he didn't have a garage next to the house. It was down just below the smiddy. A massive building, almost the man shed. There was a big building. My dad had the car on runways, and then when he was called up, he was jacked up, and one of his dear friends down the road helped himself to the tires off it. That's all I remember of that.
That was nice. There's nothing much changed in Balmacallan. So any other memories that you about Balmacallan? You see the biggest change. Was the street cobbled in that time, or was it a dirt track? Or
The road through the village. No, it was quite a conventional tarmacadam road, but the vehicle traffic was absolutely minimal. And in winter time, we used to chuck water and make a slide right down the road outside the schoolhouse.
Because it was that smooth.
Yes.
And what about supplies? Water supplies and things like that. You remember that?
Water supplies. We had a problem with water. We had I think the house had pipe water, but also and a spot looked today, it's gone. At the back of the property, there's a well, and they had a pump.
That's what I was.
And I was taking the top off, you had to pour water in to prime it.
Aye, to prime it, aye. Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, David. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish the interview?
If you like, just one quick one.
On you go.
One of the major constructions in my day was up at the top of the village, just up the top side of the village hall. The big block of.
Oh, the four flats.
Yeah, and they're steel construction. Steel framework with metal cladding.
Right.
And then rendered.
Aye.
And my dad coaxed me to go up and ask the constructor what size Meccano was it. They told me to.
I'm sure they did. And that was named Murrayfield after the owners of Tyrolke.
Because
it was on their field, the Murrays.
I'm amazed it's still standing.
Murrayfield.
Because it was supposed to be a temporary thing, you know.
It's been there all this time.
It's still there.
Aye.
And there's a house higher up now, that wasn't there.
That's right. Thank you very much, David, for that. Interview. Is there anything you'd like to add, or shall we finish at that?
Okay.
Right, grand. Thank you very much.
But you've got my name and address of this, and if you can forward any further information,
We've got your mother's photograph album as well. Will there be anything in there?
That's in